podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Likewise, all advice given is meant for entertainment and not to be taken seriously or utilized in any way. After all, one of the hosts isn't even a real person. Are you serious right now?
I give really good advice, I give really good advice, yeah, hit it, Kirsten!
No.
Hey, Mama Bears, it's Kirsten.
And your girl, Blandy C.
And this is our podcast, Really Good Advice for New Moms. We're so glad you're here. Hello to all of our new listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in and for sharing this show with your friends. I see you popping up in my analytics each day, and it makes my whole week to see you here. We couldn't do this without you.
We can, apparently, do it without our sound engineer, though.
Yeah, Plevin called to let us know he's not going to make it because of the rain today.
He said it makes his skin hurt.
Which is absolutely none of our business. His body, his experience. We hope you feel better soon, Plevin.
I kind of hope he doesn't. He's been making weird noises lately. Like when an egg first hits a hot pan. It's like a sizzle. And then it's almost like my own skin hurts just hearing that, and I want my dad, but there's so much question over my paternity. Like, is it my dad who fled to Europe? Or is it David Schwimmer? And then I kind of spiral, Kirsten.
Okay. Plevin will still hear all of this audio. Like, he's going to do all of the post-editing of this recording.
Right. What I meant to say is that I hope Plevin enjoys his weird-sounding eggs this morning, and that David Schwimmer is enjoying a fruitless post-Friends career.
Yes. We hope Plevin and David are taking care of themselves. And we hope our listeners are taking care of themselves too. I know it's not easy to take care of yourself when you're a new parent, or a human in general, let's face it. But as we're discussing this season, self-care is essential to your journey as a parent. For all of us, this looks different. But one thing that a lot of people, including myself, find beneficial is therapy.
Yeah! No, that makes sense that you would say that, being a podcaster and all.
What?
Just like how you gotta get in there that you go to therapy. Like, it's this really mind-blowing revelation that's gonna open up the heavens and fix the global mental health crisis by talking about your own mental health while ignoring that a lot of mental health crises could be eased by adequate social care, like universal access to free healthcare, mandatory extended maternity leaves, and, let's be real, a universal basic income that ensures every member of a society is able to pay their housing and food expenses without worry.
Oh, that's a lot. Like, a lot of people are going to be mad that you're advocating for them.
What's new? Like, we get it, Kirsten, you have phobias. That doesn't make you special. Personally, I myself am deeply afraid of the shape of most oil diffusers, but I'm not gonna brag about it for half this episode.
Listen, Blandy, I'm not bragging about seeing a therapist, and I actually get where you're coming from. While I do think it's crucial to normalize conversations around mental health, I also think there's a tendency to use these conversations in an exploitative or insincere way.
Like when a mommy influencer gets real about her mental health and a caption under a photo of her in a $200 dress on the balcony of her Malibu Airbnb?
Yes, exactly. This isn't to downplay the severity of anyone's mental health or to judge how they handle it, but it is to say that these glamorized depictions of mental health spirals aren't always relatable, and they can be especially discouraging for those whose illness is manifesting in less pretty ways. Case in point from my own motherhood experience, say you're reduced to a puddle of tears in the shower because there's about 5 loads of dirty laundry piled up behind the bathroom door, soaked in putrid-smelling spit-up from your refluxy baby.
Oh my gosh, I was spitting up so bad last week because I kept thinking about salad.
Then I couldn't bring myself to open the washing machine because I was so overwhelmed and sad about how out of control the spit-up piles had gotten, that I was like 1,000% sure I was the worst mom to have ever existed, and I just kept having this running thought in my mind of what's the point in even trying anymore if all I'm ever going to be is a failure.
I know if Plevin were here, he'd say that was too long for you to talk for one stretch. Just saying. Like, I don't want to get canceled again.
Okay, what I'm getting at here is that, like we've said before, being a mom is hard. That's normal. It's normal to have bad days, and it's even normal to struggle with depression and anxiety, especially when you go from being not a parent to a parent.
I relate completely. I got my first ferret from a flea market in Venice, Florida, when I was 17 years old, and my life's been a complete shit show ever since. It's like every morning, I go to grab a towel to dry my feet, because I'm really on top of washing my feet daily. And then I realize something terrible has happened inside it. Like Cheddar choosing to give birth right there in that very towel. And now I'm trying to figure out how to discuss birth control with her in a way that won't cause me to start hyperventilating.
Yeah, no, for real. Becoming a parent, and especially in our culture, a mother, is such a huge identity shift. If you're struggling with that and it's causing you to wake up and go to bed every single day feeling miserable, then seeking therapy should be seen as no different than grabbing a cough drop for a sore throat, or ibuprofen for a backache, or antibiotics for an infection.
Last time I had an infection, Stacia rubbed essential oil all over me, like even between my fingers. And then when the burning set in, I ended up panic eating fistfuls of flaming hot Cheetos with my bare hands. Cause like, who's gonna take the time to use a spoon with that, you know? So I ended up in the hospital anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she made me pay for all three of the vials she used on me. And then also somehow got me to sign up for the Platinum Starter Kit. So yeah, now I'm officially a certified oil salesperson. If you need some oil.
No thanks, Blandy. I just get mine from Target.
So does Stacia, and then she relabels it.
Something you might be asking yourself is if you really need to see a therapist. Honestly, after spending some time with it, I think that in an ideal world, we'd all have a therapist for the entirety of our lives. If you're asking yourself if you should see a therapist, the answer is yes, see the therapist. They can help you take those racing thoughts and slow them down enough that you actually have the mental energy to stop and smell the roses, so to speak.
I saw a therapist for a while.
Really? What did you think?
Well, Kirsten, I gotta tell ya, I was so worried about what my therapist thought of me that I ended up seeking out another therapist to help me untangle the things that my first therapist was saying to me. And then that new therapist made me really second guess what my first therapist was saying to me, which gave me a lot of anxiety. So I had to seek a third therapist. Long story short, I ended up Googling how many therapists should a person have at one time. And then I ended up getting an ad for teletherapy, which I immediately signed up for. In that sense, therapy did work for me because I was so busy going to therapy that I had no time to think about anything that upsets me or worries me except, you know, going to therapy, which eventually became my life's biggest stress.
Okay, that brings me to my next point, which is finding a therapist is a bit like dating. Let's be clear that therapists are just like the rest of us in that they have their own biases, traumas, and a lot of them, diagnoses. The difference between them and us is two things. One, they're not us. So they can help clients see life from a fresh perspective. And two, they're formally educated on how to help people improve their negative or harmful thought patterns. Keeping that in mind, you need to think about what you're looking for from a therapist and try to find a good match. If you're a teetotaling mom who is struggling with anxiety around your new role as a mom, then turning to a single male therapist who specializes in addiction isn't going to be the best match for you. It would be worth considering a female therapist who also has a family and can empathize with your worries and stressors. Likewise, if you want guidance on a specific issue, like say gender identity, then you should research therapists who specialize in this so you can get the most from your time and money.
Which, after seeing 5 therapists at once, is something I don't have any of. Also, I'm still doing literally everything from this podcast and babysitting to my passion of paranormal investigating. Completely pro bono. Okay, Kirsten?
You bring up a good point, Blandy. Therapy is super expensive, and it's not accessible to everyone. Which means that for a lot of us, we seek it just during certain life events or when our mental health is on the decline, rather than as long-term maintenance, which again, I wish was something we all had as an option. For me, I knew it was time to see a therapist when my anxiety started manifesting as near constant anger and annoyance in regard to motherhood. It was like I was a shaken soda bottle about to burst. When I started talking to a therapist, it was as if someone slowly untwisted the cap so I could let off all the carbonation without exploding.
Oh, why did that just turn me on? Should I get another therapist about this?
I also found talking to a therapist helpful when we were dealing with job loss and a cancer diagnosis in the family. I wasn't necessarily struggling with my role as a parent during those times, but having a professional to talk to about the hard grown-up stuff took enough pressure off that I was still able to be present for my daughters. You know, maybe not perfectly, but better than if I'd have just tried to ignore how hard things were at that time. Therapy has also helped me enjoy motherhood more by normalizing my stress and anxiety. Before I talked to a therapist, I honestly didn't get that the stuff about parenthood that freaks me out freaks every other parent out too. Whether it's worrying about how to pay for the holidays, or making decisions about their schooling, or feeling tapped out from being needed all day. My therapist helped me figure out how to prioritize myself, something I felt a lot of guilt over, so that I could be there mentally and emotionally for my kids.
Okay, therapy sounds great, but again, I just want to say that last month, Cheddar gave birth to 8 babies and then just devoured 2 of them when I was trying to check my Instagram at the library, and that was really hard on me. And I just can't stress enough how much money this podcast doesn't pay me. I don't have money for therapy, Kirsten. What the hell should I do? Steal therapy? How do you even do that?
Okay, Blandy, you're right. I keep harping on how great therapy is, but it's a privilege. And to be completely transparent, my parents paid for it.
What?
That's right. As a grown-ass woman with 2 kids of my own, my parents paid for my therapy.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'll just let that sink in.
Kirsten and I talked intimately over the break. And she just wants to apologize to you for having parents who pay for shit. Not that my mom never steps up to pay for my Mountain Dew and Surge, but still. Please, don't cancel us. If Kirsten is the reason we get canceled again, I don't think I'll be able to pretend I like her ponytail any longer.
Point is, so much of our conversations around mental health revolve around therapy, but often don't address those who can't actually afford it. And let's face it, not being able to afford basic shit that should be available to everyone contributes to many mental health issues around parenting.
I was trying to say that at the beginning.
You were. So let's back up. Yes, if you can afford it, the simple answer is see a therapist. Just do it. If you can pay out of pocket, awesome. If you can get it through insurance, even better. Call your insurance company and find out what they cover and how to get it, whether it's in-person counseling or through telehealth. If your insurance doesn't cover therapy, look into employee mental health programs. Some employers offer mental health care to their employees. Likewise, if you're a student, most colleges have free or subsidized access to mental health care.
A lot of colleges also have free toilet paper.
Do they?
Yeah, just unroll as much as you can and stuff it in your backpack.
Got it.
What about BetterHelp? What about Talkspace? Don't they sponsor us yet?
They actually don't. No. No, but online counseling really is a great option, especially for parents. I know some people talk about it like it's an alternative, but as a busy mom, I actually found those types of services a lot easier and more fulfilling, since I didn't have to find someone to watch my kids to have a session. They're also a lot cheaper than in-person therapy, and many of these programs offer financial aid, making it that much cheaper. But if you can't afford a therapist, period, look for support groups. Be careful not to get wrapped up in big forums. Reddit, Baby Center, and other places like that can be nice for gleaning information, but you don't know what iceberg of untreated trauma those people are coming at you with either. Instead, seek out groups led by professionals who can mediate conversations between the members.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it about babysitter right now, Kirsten.
Fair enough. There's also free apps that make it easier to maintain your mental health or give you a boost when you need it. One that really helps me is called I Am. It sends positive affirmations just when I need them, like while I'm making breakfast for two whiny kids. And then, of course, there's podcasts. Two that are specifically about mental health and motherhood that I recommend are MOM, Moms on Mental Health, and Mom and Mind for Pregnancy and Postpartum Mental Health.
Another place you can go to is my friend Carl, the ice cream man. He's so good at listening. One time, after I found out Dante and Stacia were going on a third honeymoon, I almost couldn't take the heartbreak for another minute when I heard the sweet, comforting hum of Carl's truck coming down the street. I flagged him down, bought $300 worth of ice cream, and he listened to me weep for the next half hour. It was so relieving.
So you spent $300 to have someone listen to you for half an hour?
Yeah. And I also got a butt ton of ice cream out of it.
Okay, cool. Hey, what matters here is that parents at all stages and from all walks of life, whether they're juggling horny ferrets or screamy preschoolers, understand that managing your mental health is just one more aspect of life that doesn't miraculously improve just because you had a kid. Actually, it gets that much more difficult to take time for. But taking time for it in whatever capacity works for you is an incredibly important aspect of taking care of yourself because you're pretty important.
You, the people listening, are especially important to me. Almost as important as Dante.
We love you guys. Take a look at our show notes for resources on affordable or free mental health care, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Trust me, that episode is all about me, Blandy. You know that thing I said about your ponytail?
Yeah.
I didn't mean it. Yeah, I'm joshing around with you a little bit to try to create some tension in this show. I feel like it's too palpable to everybody that I really adore you, and you really adore me, and I think they need some drama.
Right.